We're going to begin a series today, a short one, from the book of Colossians called Living the Dream. Living the Dream. I encourage you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I'll read the first section here to you, okay? From Colossians 1 and the first 8 verses. Paul identifies himself and Timothy with him in this very first section. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. He also told us of your love in the Spirit. In many ways, the church in Colossae, as described here by Paul, reminds me of this church. There are faithful people here who strive for holiness. Many here have shown such great love for God's people. And not necessarily because you're extremely wealthy or benevolent, but you have been so generous to God's people. It's because of the faith and the love that flows out of your hope in heaven. You believe the gospel, the good news that Jesus gave his life, that you might have life and life to the full. And that faith in you produces fruit in the way you live and the way you serve as witnesses to your family, your friends, your neighbors, and to the community. So the church in Colossae reminds me of the church here. But as we go on in our study, we're going to find that Paul didn't think the church had arrived in Colossae, that they weren't done growing. They had some growing to do. And evidently, there were some folks, at least in the church in Colossae, though they got off to a good beginning, they were stagnated in their growth. They were stunted. They weren't growing anymore. And I'm sure that though it grieves me to think that that's probably true of this church and every church. There are probably people who have grown so far and they planed off or maybe even declined. So Paul's prayer in this next section is going to have great meaning, not only for them, but for us. It'd be fitting for us to pray this prayer over us. He says in verse 9 through 14, he says, for this reason. What reason? Well, the fact that, hey, you're in Christ, that you've got this wonderful faith, you've got this hope, you've got this love. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, Paul is praying for God's Spirit to fill them with the knowledge of his divine will. Now, didn't they know it already? Well, they had an understanding. They had a level of understanding, and they've grasped some of it, but not all of it. Did Paul expect that by praying that they would just gain this knowledge, this wisdom, through osmosis? Did he expect that God would infuse them with wisdom and understanding? Well, maybe so. Because God certainly can do that, and he has done that. But I don't think he expected God to fill them against their will, or apart from their cooperation. How many of you know there's a need for us to open our hearts, to open our minds, to receive what God wishes for us to have? That there's a need for us to seek His wisdom, to gain that wisdom. Too often, I'm afraid that we can be like children who resist their parents' instruction. We neither listen nor heed what our parents say, and then we wonder why we get into such trouble and are clueless how to get out of it. Is it possible that we sometimes resist the Spirit in a similar way? And then we find that we're always living in crisis control. It's not God's will for us. That we would not be sensitive to His leading and then find ourselves somewhere other than where He wants us to go. It's not God's will for us that we would just, you know, try to figure out life by ourselves and then realize we don't have it figured out. It's His will for us to come to Him and seek from Him this wisdom that He offers. In fact, in our text, God says there's a threefold purpose for the revelation that He gives. See, because Paul's praying, right, for them to have this revelation, for this wisdom, for this knowledge, right? That they will have that. Why? So they could be know-it-alls? So they could win in the Bible Bowl competition? So that they could again, amaze people with their great wisdom and understanding? No. He gives us in our text a threefold purpose for this prayer for this wisdom. The first purpose is found in verse 10. Paul says it so that we may live lives worthy of the Lord. That's what he says. I pray this so that you may live lives worthy of the Lord. Now, I've shared before, I struggle with this concept since I tend to equate living a life worthy of the Lord as being a perfect life. One that has arrived. One that has no shortcomings or failings. And why wouldn't I think that? I mean, look at the text. The rest of the verse indicates that I'm to please God in every way, right? It indicates that I'm to bear fruit for Him all the time. It indicates that I'm to constantly be growing in my relationship with Him. May I be honest with you? I don't often think that's an apt description of me. Can I be honest with you? I don't often think that's an apt description of you. I don't mean that in a critical way, but are any of us pleasing God in every way, bearing fruit all the time, and growing constantly in a relationship with Him? I know I sin, and I fall short of the glory of God every day, and I think you do too. I'm unworthy. And if I look at, you know, just who I am and what I do from a human perspective, I always feel unworthy. Any of you identify with that? What's our problem? What's the problem? Because he says, again, he's praying this, right? So that they might be able to live that life. Now, I am not one for concrete formulas for Christian living, you know, where someone finds a verse or finds a couple of verses and say, okay, here's step one, step two, step three, and if we just do those things, we've got it. And they reduce it down to some kind of a human formula, you know, depending on human effort rather than on the Spirit. I'm not one for that, but, hear me, the Holy Spirit inspired this text. So I've got to conclude that a major part of the issue for you and for me is that maybe we're not being filled with the knowledge of His will. You hear me? Because if we were, right, our lives would at least be showing and reflecting, right, more of the worth of the sacrifice has been made for. More of the worth that says, you know what, we are serving the King, right? And our lives would reflect that more, wouldn't they? I mean, that was his prayer. Now, we're going to talk about some practical ways in the weeks to come to remedy the problem, okay? But for now, let's begin where Paul did. Let's pray that God will fill us with what we need to get through today. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, study harder. No. If any of you lack wisdom, well, then ask a friend, you know. Get some counsel from one of your friends. No, that's not what he says. Just ask God, who gives freely without showing favoritism. See, what was Paul doing for Colossae? He was asking God to fill them, right? Asking God. So my prayer for Calvary Christian is that God will fill you with that wisdom. And I ask you to pray for me, because I need it. Let's ask him for the wisdom to start living the dream. And I'm not talking about living out our dreams, but living his dream. Because he has a dream for us, guys. He has a plan for us that's so incredible, so amazing, so wonderful. And so many of us aren't living it. We may dream about living it, but it's time to stop dreaming. It's time to start living. Amen? The second purpose is found in verse 11. Paul says that his prayer is so that they might be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that they might have great endurance and patience. Anybody here struggle at all with the stuff that you got to deal with in life? Huh? Trials, temptations, worries, burdens, they seem to suck the life out of living sometimes, don't they? Anybody here need a little patience? You've heard it said, you know, don't ask God for patience. I'm telling you, ask him. That's a lie of the devil not to ask God for patience. Because look, you ask God to fill you with the wisdom, right? So that you might have what? Patience. They would bought that lie. We're not going to ask God for patience because, you know, we'll probably have more difficulty in life. No, ask him for patience. For the Spirit, isn't it? Ask him for that. There are two words in our text, sometimes used as synonyms. But when they're used together, that they have a deeper meaning. They have greater significance. The first word is translated endurance, and it means steadfastness and consistency. The second word is translated patience, and it carries the idea of long-suffering or perseverance. So see, we're talking about having this gift from God, this ability to know and understand something so that we can hang in there when the going gets tough. About having the ability to not give up when it gets unbearable. And here's the really tough part for me. I sometimes can hang in there and keep plugging along, but keeping a good attitude in the process. You know what I'm talking about? That come on. I've illustrated it this way more than once, so forgive me if you've heard this more than once, but I think of it this way. I usually, when I'm stuck in a traffic jam, I accept I'm stuck in a traffic jam. I don't like it. But I'm not one of these guys that crosses the median to go the other direction, usually. I better stress that. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, gets over in the shoulder and drives the last 3 miles to the exit ramp. If I get closer and I realize, man, you know, then yeah, but you know what I'm talking. You ever been to those traffic jams? These guys, they're barreling around you, and it's 3 miles up to the exit ramp. Cut it out, right? Be like me. Wait till you get 100 yards from it. Like, that's the right way to do it. I get impatient with those people. You know what I mean? If the traffic is stopped long enough, I do begin to get irritated. And I sometimes show it. My wife says, stop that, will ya? On the steering wheel, you know. And I do this. I have this conversation with somebody. What in the world's going on up there? What's the problem? My goodness. I wonder if it's and if it's long, I get out of the car, peek around. Can I stand up on top of the hood of your car? I don't want to stand on mine so I can get a better view. You know, you get impatient. And it's not always the most probably appealing. And if somebody was in the car with me, they might not get the impression that I was filled with the wisdom of God. So, like when we get stuck in life, when things aren't working out the way we planned, when we seem to be stopped and there's barriers and there's hurdles and there's when things not only don't turn out the way we'd planned, they don't even turn out remotely the way we'd hoped for. What do we need? Don't we need some resolve to hold firmly to our faith and to keep living and loving no matter what? When people break their promises to us, or we find we've broken ours so many times and no one should ever trust us again, don't we need power from on high to keep doing the right thing whether we see immediate results or not? You know, and I'll just take a side here. I find this all the time. There are people who are stuck and they're in bad situations. And, you know, I share with them what I see in God's Word about the counsel, the wisdom of God about what to do. And they'll say, okay, I'll try it. And they'll try it for about 5 minutes. Now, that's an exaggeration the other way. But, you know, but they'll try it for just a little while. And if they don't see immediate results, they say, it doesn't work. I quit. I give up. You know what? Wrong thing to do. And we need, don't we, endurance and patience from God to keep doing the right thing, even if it's not getting the immediate results. Trusting what? Trusting that He's going to get me out of this. He'll get me through this. He'll deliver me in time. In His time, He will. Where do we go for such strength? Ask God to give it to us. Because we're not going to be living the dream until we do. And some people say that, you know, you're just dreaming if you think that people can really live that way. No, God's dreaming it for me and for you. Isn't He? And it's about getting a hold of that dream, that wisdom, that purpose, that plan from Him. And once we know it, and it's interesting that Paul talked about when we begin to grasp and understand the grace. That's what he said, the grace. Then we begin to bear fruit. Then we begin to live the life. Then, understanding the grace that's there. It's there, and God can give it. Third purpose is found in verse 12. Paul says it so we may give joyful thanks to the Father. Now, do we really need to know God's will in order to do that? I mean, can't I bow my head, say grace at meals, bedtime prayers, blurt out, thank you, Jesus, when things go right, without some special spiritual insight? Can I do that? Sure I can. But it takes more than shallow understanding what God's done and is doing to enable me to thank Him in difficult times. It takes something more to thank God when we don't get what we want when we want it. A man I know pretty well counts it a great blessing that the girl he thought he couldn't live without left him for another. Because within a few years, God brought a marvelous woman into his life that he's been happily married to for 37 years. A woman in Michigan told me she thanked God every day for her cancer. She's since gone to be with Jesus. And she's experiencing a oneness with him that you and I can only imagine right now. But in the last few years of her life, she said she grew closer to him than she had in the 50 years prior. She learned the truth of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. That was her favorite passage. And because, again, she believed that, she claimed that, she understood her hope was in heaven. And because her hope was in heaven, faith and love oozed from her. In not so good circumstances, she could do as Paul urged in another place, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Read that last section for me. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What if you left here today and you didn't grow any more in the wisdom of God than this, that you got that down, that God's will for you. See, it's the wisdom, right? The understanding of his will, of his dream for you, is rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. What if that's all you left here with, knowing that was God's will for you, and focusing on that? Could it make a difference? I believe so. So many people, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't, I'm in such a mess. This is such a difficult situation. God, what do you want me to do? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. But God, you don't understand. Oh, yes, I do, but do you? Right? And I want to fill you with that understanding. That hope of heaven, the grace that's available to you, the life and plan that I have for you in your life. Such joyful gratitude only comes from God. Only from him. Ask him for it. Such knowledge can help us to start living the dream. It can. It really can. Now, and I confess to you that sometimes I get the knowledge this way, though. You know, like I'm being impatient. You know, I'm not enduring as I should. You know, I'm not living the dream. And maybe someone that's close to me, someone I love very dearly, will say, remember 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And my response can be, yeah, I know. But do I know it? I may know it, but do I know it? The knowledge that this is God's plan for me, that he'll equip me to live out, is what I got to know. And ask him for it. Remember, he's qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, having rescued us from darkness, bringing us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness. That was how the section we read earlier closed out, verse 14. If he's done that for you, He's done that for me. We can rest assured He'll also supply what we need to live the kind of life He wants us to live. Only He can rescue us from the nightmare so we can start living the dream. Again, not our dream, His. And before we're done with the study, we're going to find that, guess what? God has the power to transform your dreams to be His dreams too. He can rescue us. We're going to sing, "You Alone Can Rescue," and He can. If you have not accepted the gift of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord so that you can start living the dream, then we're going to encourage you about that right now. Recognize that there's a life that you can live that's so far superior than what you've been experiencing. And if you've been dreaming about that life, but you haven't been living it, well, let's pray for you that God may give you that wisdom to live it today as we sing.